Hallelujah. Whew.
When Yarno initially asked me to share something, I was actually around the Loon Lake kids camp time. I told Yarno that I had surrendered my life to the Lord, and right away he jumped on. He's like, "Hey, would you like to share what God's done in your life?" And here we are, fast forward a few months, close to a year, and here we are. Thank you, Jesus. Initially, though, I thought we're going to be still meeting in the side room. I was like, I can handle the side room, and then I find out we're in the main sanctuary here, so sheesh. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We just sang there a song. I got my notes here, but I told the Holy Spirit, too, that if, you know, I can deviate from the plans. And we just sang about the God of Jacob. God says that I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we all know from the Bible how Jacob, and I think even the word, his name was deceitful, the meaning. And he had a lot of issues in his life. And we know that God eventually changed his name from Jacob to Israel. But isn't it fascinating how even after he did that, he would still refer to himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He wasn't ashamed to be the God of Jacob. So anybody here, even today, thank you, Jesus, regardless of your past mistakes, you've repented, you've given your life to God. He is not ashamed. Your Father is not ashamed of you. He's not afraid to be called your God. Hallelujah. And I want to jump right into Gospel of John, chapter 1. Verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world." And this has been stirring in my heart for a few years now, because notice how, yes, God gave, "Behold the Lamb of God, who he forgave us our sins," but it's like John took it to another level almost when he said that, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away." So not only are your sins forgiven, but they are taken away. They are no longer. So I just want to encourage, if there's anyone here today, you're a brother, you're a sister in Christ, your sins have been forgiven, but the enemy likes to bring our past. He likes to remind us about our past and our past failures in life. And God just wants you to know today, "Behold the Lamb of God. He has taken away your sins." They are no longer. God no longer remembers them. And he's encouraging you today, don't remember your sins anymore. They've been forgiven. You have to move on. Thank you, Jesus. God didn't send his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross to forgive some of your sins. He paid full price. All of your sins are forgiven. Thank you, Jesus. I grew up in a Finnish Pentecostal church my whole life. My father was a pastor, and I've never had a chance to say this from behind the pulpit, but I'm just going to say it now that I have the chance. Jumalan rauhaa, rakkaat sisaret ja veljet. Jumalan armoa ja rauhaa. May God's grace and peace be with you, brothers and sisters. Why do I call you brothers and sisters? Because those who do the will of the Father, those who obey his commands, are my brothers and my sisters. In fact, Bible says, "He who says that he loves me but hates my brother is a liar." And we had an amazing service here last Sunday. Man, I felt the presence and the authority when Pastor Yarno and Tim spoke. And I felt that we're in one accord, brothers and sisters in Christ. Everything that's been stirring in my heart for the past few years, and I was here last Sunday, and it's like I could feel the fact that we're unity and we're in one accord. Thank you, Jesus. No longer I who live, but Christ who is in me. No longer you who live, but Christ who is in you. Christ in us, the hope of glory. I think that's a great common denominator as Christians. Amen? And that's why we need to be, Jesus prayed for complete unity. I numbered my papers here so I don't lose track, but I already lost track. Hallelujah. You mentioned Francis Chan last Sunday, and so I just want to speak on that a little bit. I'm not a speaker. I'm a blue-collar worker. I work for the city of Vancouver here. And I remember him saying a sermon that he would go to all these conferences, and like even Brother Tim mentioned last Sunday, that let us not focus on trying to impress the flesh with our great big words, and how Apostle Paul even, he'd like bring it back to basics, the blood of the Lamb and the cross and the blood of Jesus. And it's the power that changes us. The Holy Spirit changes us, not a great sermon. And hey, that's all. There's a lot of great preachers out there, and they're anointed, and God is using them. But even for the average Joe like myself, I can't wow you with my speech today. But like Francis Chan was saying, that he would go to all these great meetings, and he would hold big conferences, and people would come, and they would shake his hand and pat him on the back and say, like, man, that was a great word. Like, it was totally worth it, you know, the extra drive to come out here and hear you speak. But then he would say those same people would leave the church, and before they even got out of the parking lot, somebody cuts them off and they're already cursing them. So a great sermon alone is not going to change anybody. But I pray that the Holy Spirit moves here today. And despite of my lack here speaking in front of you, I pray that the Holy Spirit would convict us and speak to us today. Because that, even a moment in his presence is worth more than any sermon ever held. So, whew. Thank you, Jesus. So, yeah, quick introduction. So, I had a lot of familiar faces. A lot of you guys know me, but there's probably about a half of you that don't. So, I was born in Finland. I was 11 years old when we moved to South Florida. I grew up in Florida. My dad pastored the Pentecostal church there for 12 years. I lived in Florida for a total of 16 years myself. I moved here to BC in 2010. And I have my beautiful wife here today, and we have two kids in Sunday school. I work as a firefighter here in Vancouver, in this district. Our fire hall is right there on Knight Street and 54th, the new fire hall, if any locals here. Don't be a stranger, pop by and say hello. So I didn't get into ministry like the rest of my family. My dad's retired now from pastoring, but my brother is also a pastor. My brother-in-law is a pastor, and it's always been the running joke of the family. My dad would always kind of joke around that. Can you believe it that, you know, myself, my older brother, my brother-in-law, they're all lighting up church is on fire for God. You know, we want the fire of God to, you know, consume the churches. And here, my youngest son becomes a firefighter. Like, he literally gets a career to put out fires. Like, what is going on? But I think one of my main focuses here today is to speak a little bit about being a lukewarm Christian. Because I, like I said, grew up in church, Sunday school, youth nights, pre-youth nights, you name it, basically grew up in the church community. And I got baptized when I was 14 years old. But I would say by the age of 16, I was in the world, and I still treated Jesus as my savior. I know the hell is real. I always knew that hell is real. I've never denied God. And there was that certain fear that always kept me kind of hanging on by the thread. But I never treated Jesus as the Lord of my life. He was just the Savior that I would run to. If there was some turbulence on the airplane, I would quickly pray the sinner's prayer, but then once the plane landed, I'd be, you know, back at her. And I actually want to speak on this. I'm going to start by reading Luke chapter 13, verse 6 through 9. And this verse, it hit me after I had surrendered my life, but it spoke to me about where I was. Sorry. So we're in Luke chapter 13, verse 6 through 9. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." None of us know what year we're in. The Lord in His grace gave me 30 years. But we don't know when it's the last year, you know, when sort of like Jesus is like, let's fertilize the soil around Him and let's give Him one more year. And I'm not here to make anybody afraid, but let it speak to your heart. We need to be trees that bear fruit, amen? The axe is already laid to the root of the tree. And I'm going to kind of make sure here that I hit these. So, yeah, I said I was baptized at 14. I went into the world when I was 16. My whole adult life, basically, I was a lukewarm Christian. I claimed to be a Christian, but I denied Him with my actions. I didn't submit to the will of my Father. I gave false testimony, and I think that's why in the book of Revelation it speaks about how, you know, be neither cold or hot, because when you claim to be a Christian but you're living in the world, you're giving false testimony of who God is and what it is to be a Christian. I was a foolish builder who heard the word but didn't obey it. I would say, "Lord, Lord." I had no problem praying the sinner's prayer growing up as a kid in church. You know, that's a big stepping stone for some, but growing up in a Christian home, it wasn't hard for me to pray the sinner's prayer, but I'd go right back to living in my habitual sin. "Why do you say, 'Lord, Lord,' but don't do as I say?" Not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," are my disciples or enter my kingdom, but those who do the will of my Heavenly Father. And again, just like about the brother, you say you love God, but don't obey His commands. You're a liar and the truth is not in you. And these verses hit me hard when I started seeking the Lord. I was, 2018, I went to Finland. I knew I was at a crossroads in my life. I knew something had to happen. My brother being a pastor and my family there, I felt like I needed to be close to them and kind of surround myself with Christians. And I, 2018, I went to Finland with my family. I went to maybe some of you heard of Daniel Kalenda, a known preacher for Christ for All Nations. He was speaking in Helsinki. And I went there with my brother, and he made the altar call, and I ran up there, and that's when God started doing work in me. But even then, it was another two years, you know, that it took till I surrendered. But that 2018, after that service, God gave me a hunger for His Word. I started reading His Word. I started listening to sermons. But I was still dabbling with sin, and I wasn't fully surrendered. But He slowly started doing His work in me. And then in 2020, you know, the world got crazy beginning of 2020. And I remember specifically, it was in the summer, 2020, my family was already upstairs asleep. And I remember getting on my knees and surrendering to the Lord. I said, "I don't know what's going on, but I need the Spirit of truth in my life. And if I'm not going to surrender now in these last days, like, when am I going to surrender?" And I got on my knees, and for the first time after 30 years of being lukewarm, I surrendered my life fully. Now he's no longer just the Savior, but He's the Lord of my life. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Spending time in His presence changes everything. you start to produce fruit. You start to become more and more like the one you spend time with. You don't need to turn here, I've just got a few. Acts 26:20, repent and turn to God and prove your repentance by your deeds. Everything is flipped now upside down from being lukewarm. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. And I just want to jump in here too and say that, you know, we're living in the last hour. And I heard a sermon on this and it's spoken to me. And I mentioned that I was a foolish builder who heard the word but didn't obey it. And I feel like there's been a season, clearly even for myself, 30 years. I would still come to church and I would go through the motions. You know, it was so normal for me growing up in church that it wasn't a stumbling block, or it wasn't something hard for me to come through those doors, as it may be for somebody who's never grown up in the circles. But there's going to be an hour, and I think it's coming, where you're the lukewarm Christian, you're not going to make it. When the storm comes, you know, it's. I heard a sermon that God is waiting for the wise builder to finish building, and then he's going to allow the storm to come. So while the wise builder is still building, the lukewarm can kind of get away with it. But once that wise builder has built his house, and God allows the storm to come, you're not going to survive anymore as a foolish builder. I knew I'd lose track of these papers. My wife told me, but make sure you number them. Yes, hearing God, I just headline, hearing God in the last hour, spending time in his presence. We need to spend alone time with God. We need to be in our prayer closets. We got to remove all the noise. How many know the enemy is using noise to distract us? It doesn't necessarily even have to be sin. But it's anything that distracts us from spending time with the Lord. It's no longer about, oh, can I do this as a Christian or can I not? Does it take time away? Can I watch this TV show? Yeah, sure, but it's taking time away from the presence of the living God. I've raised this question before. When is the last time that you heard another person's heartbeat? You know, I greeted, hugged people here today. You know, we're spending time in each other's presence, but I didn't get close enough to hear your heartbeat. You know, maybe sometimes a spouse, you can hear husbands or wives or your children's heartbeat, but this is the kind of time that you spend in his presence, the kind of silence I'm talking about. This picture, you lay your hand, your head against your loved one's chest. You gotta tune out everything. You know, you almost you put your ear against your other person's chest, and you have your cell phone away. Every other distraction is put away, and only then can you feel the heartbeat. You gotta get close, and you gotta get intimate with the Lord. You put your ear against the Father's chest, and that's when you can hear his heartbeat. And we want to get into that same beat and the rhythm as our Heavenly Father. And if we can hear his heartbeat, surely we'll hear his word. And the enemy makes a lot of noise. The lies are loud. But sometimes the truth is quiet and you got to really hear it. And in the Jesus said, those who has ears, let him hear. And in the book of Revelation, Jesus says, that who has an ear, hear what the Spirit is saying. So literally, it's like, even in the last hour, it's like, and again, like when you put your head, like John the Beloved laid his hand against the chest of Jesus, and that's where we can hear his voice. That's where we need to spend time. That's where we start producing fruit. We got to be in the vine. Where did I put the last page? Managed to lose the last page somehow, but we need oil in the last hour. Hallelujah. And how do we produce that oil when we spend time with the Lord? I always felt weird, like, you know, the 10 virgins, and that's talking about the church. It's not referring to the world and Christians, but the 10 virgins were all Christians, and half of them were ready when God came. They all had oil to begin with. And I always felt kind of weird that, you know, when the groom came and then the virgins who had no oil, they were asking, hey, can I get some of your oil? But they wouldn't give it. And then I was like, well, as a brother and sister in Christ, you think you'd want to like, hey, like, yeah, here, take some of mine. But the thing is, I can't give my oil to you. The kind of oil we're talking about here that you spend in the presence, personal relationship with God. I can't give that oil to you. That oil is produced in His presence. That's the personal oil. Okay, I lost that last page, but I still remember the Bible verses I had here. So to speak in a little more into spending time in His presence, I'm in John chapter 4, verse 39. This is about the Samaritan woman that meets Jesus at the well. You know the story. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to Him, they urged Him to stay with them, and He stayed with them 2 days. And because of His words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." And what I'm getting at there is, I grew up in church. I heard the pastor speak about Jesus. I believed sort of based on what other believers told me. But then when they spent time for 2 days in His presence, when I started spending time in God's presence, I knew for myself, surely Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And also, Jesus anointed in Bethany. Again, time in His presence. I just want to start closing off with this. While He was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on His head. Some of those, I'll just leave it there. What was she doing? She was spending time in the presence of the living God. She was at the feet of Jesus. And I like it how the Bible says that she broke the jar. You know, she surrendered all. I'm all in. I'm not going to just open the jar or whatever and pour a little bit. I'm breaking the jar. There's no going back. I'm surrendering my all. And the fragrance. Think about the same fragrance now that was on Jesus was on her. It was all over the intimacy with the Lord. You spend time in His presence. You get the fragrance of God on you. Now when Jesus left that situation and the lady went her way, people in the town would be like, wow, the fragrance on Jesus, the same fragrance is on this woman. Because she's been spending time with her Savior. And I just encourage you daily, let's spend time in the presence so that fragrance doesn't get a chance to fade away. But that we would be, like Tim said, we would be overflowing. That we can truly testify and be a testimony of the fragrance of Jesus to people around us. Hallelujah. I think that's it. I didn't really know how to time it. Went through pretty quick. Hallelujah. I pray that the Holy Spirit will just touch each and every one of us here today. Thank you, Jesus, for what you do to this church. I pray for revival. Thank you, Jesus. Truly, like Yarno was saying, it's been stirring my heart to your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. We can enter His kingdom now. kingdom now. We don't need to wait till we go to heaven one day. We can be in his kingdom now. Hallelujah. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Amen.